Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll spend some time right now with the former NFL wide receiver in Braylon Edwards. He has a book out. It's called Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL Receiver, and Beyond. Braylon, thanks for making a few minutes. Congratulations on the book. And how you been?
Zach, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that. I've been well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Can't complain. We'll get into the book in just a second, and I've been really enjoying it so far, and I'm learning a lot about you, even some things that I never knew before. But let me first start you off with the big news around the National Football League, and that's Antonio Brown. It's been an eventful offseason, to say the least, for Mr. Big Chess. Now we know he will be on the field week one. After that altercation that occurred the other day, and the Raiders had a chance to get out of this contract if they did suspend him, do you think the Raiders made the right call here, not punishing him?
I think so. I think AB has been very, very excited and very thrilled about being a Raider, being out of Pittsburgh, being in a place where he feels he can grow. He's a businessman as well as a heck of a football player. And also, I think the Raiders are happy to have him. I think it was nothing but success early on. Obviously, you get into the seat and the helmet and things like that, and then the puffing of the chest, the fines. Recently, that's old AB. But, I think that they'll be able to rectify this. You got a first-time GM in Mayock, and, a guy in AB, they're both trying to assert that alpha dominance. I think they both were in the wrong. AB was probably more in the wrong. But they're going to get on the right page, and AB just needs football. I think that's the big thing, is AB has been out of football for a long time. You look at the last game of the season last year, he didn't play, and so now it's, everybody's beating up on AB. Certain people, they lash out when people, talk about spectacles, and they put themselves in deeper holes. But with him, he needs football, and Monday he'll get it, and I think everybody will start to be quiet, because I think he's going to go on a tear this year.
It wouldn't surprise me if he has a big year, but with how much of a mercurial player that he is, you wonder, these are all these things without football, like you mentioned. What happens if him and Derek Carr have some miscommunication issues, or if they can't get on the same page? If it's this ugly right now, what happens when Carr can't get him the football?
Well, Derek's a young player. He's a young quarterback. He hasn't arrived yet. He's arrived money-wise. But he hasn't arrived yet. So he's going to latch on to a guy like AB, and I think he's going to go where AB goes. He's going to allow AB to, indirectly under the tide, steer the ship. He's the face, but under the tide, AB's steering the ship. And you want to be successful. He's not a guy that's been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, made 7 Pro Bowls, been that guy, a list of playoff appearances. So he's looking to latch on to a guy. And I think that guy can be AB, and I think it'll be a match made in heaven. I don't think Derek Carr is going to be the guy to throw him under the bus or to complain to the media or even to have that kind of rapport, AB. I see Derek Carr as one of the younger guys, kind of a – I don't want to use the word hip because it makes me sound old, but I think Derek Carr is one of those of-this-generation players where it'll be a good fit for AB, if that makes sense.
I get star players get preferential treatment, but with how it ended in Pittsburgh, is this a dangerous message that the Raiders are at all sending? If you could go in, curse out the GM, threaten to punch him, and there's no repercussions from it, is that at all dangerous to the rest of the locker room?
It depends on how they solved it afterwards. It depends on what was the conversation with Mayock in front of the team afterwards in private. What was said by AB, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it could be a dangerous – it could be a dangerous message. It could be. But, Mike Mayock isn't excused from fault here at the same time. He shouldn't have been AB's face. He should have been out there, et cetera. So, I think they can come over this. They can get over this, help and play ball at the end of the day. I don't want it to be a situation kind of like Odell, where Odell was very, very passionate and very physical and viewable on the sideline. And fast forward, you saw Sterling Shepard do the same thing. because that's what he saw, that's what he knows. I don't think it'll be a case like that.
You know, your view on Mayock is very interesting, because all Mayock did, from my understanding, is they fined him, maybe wasn't happy with the fine, and they had that confrontation. But it seemed like Mayock was pretty calm from all the reports in the confrontation and was letting AB air out his grievances and his problems, and then it just went a little bit too far. So your take on Mayock's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, when you already feel a type of way about a certain individual, it's easy to curve a story, or it's easy to put a certain story out there a certain way and be believable based on what none of us were there. So, you know, I don't think I know how those things go. I've seen some tisk with GMs. I've seen with coaches where players and GMs or players and coaches have exchanged some words during practice, be it in the beginning or be it towards the end when the GM and owner comes out. I've seen this happen, you know, and I just think it's in a situation with it's who it is, it's when it is. You know what I'm saying? Now it's more in a everybody running to the phone error. And I think that's why, oh, well, it had to be like this, et cetera. I've seen this happen, so I know how these things can get. And a lot of times GMs put themselves in a situation where, you know, you shouldn't even have been there to kind of ignite the fire for no reason. You know, pull AB into a meeting ASAP once you find out, you know, what he was tweeting, what he was saying. Just pull him into a meeting ASAP and nip it in the bud versus allowing it to kind of fester, et cetera. Like, I wouldn't have let him on the practice field without talking to him first.
Braylon Edwards here with us on CBS Sports Radio. The name of the book is Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL Receiver, and Beyond. The message when people read this book, because it details your career, you're not afraid to bring up any situation that happened in your life, both good and bad, and there's been some bad with the arrest and then also a drug problem. What do you want people to learn about you in this book and take away from this book?
That I'm always aiming to be better. You know, that I'm human. I think a lot of times people just get caught up in being a fan or just seeing a person as an athlete. They don't realize a person is human. People go through things family-wise, personal-wise, individual. You go through a lot of things, man, but how are you handling? How do you come out the other side? Do you come out the other side? Are you willing to try to come out the other side? So it's a good book, man. It deals with my family growing up, you know, as you read so far. Deals with my upbringing. Deals with Michigan. Deals with the league, the good, the bad, you know, post. So there's a lot of things in there. You know, it deals with a lot of subjects people can relate to. Bullying is an early part of the book, man. And, you know, so there are a lot of things that I just felt like being an open canvas and letting people see, like, hey, this is, you know, guys aren't just basketball players. You know, Mike Trout's a $440 million man, but at the end of the day, he's still a man. You know, he still has the things that he might go through. I'm not saying he does, but things that he might deal with and vice versa. You know, we all know AD has a lot of issues. So, you know, everyone has things that they have to deal with. But I think the key is realizing that we're humans first, and then we're players.
Yeah, which a lot of people forget about, because as you know, a fan or a talk show host, there's a lot of times we just expect athletes to perform each and every day, and you forget the human side of it. As Braylon Edwards is here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I know Michigan means a lot to you. It means a lot to your family. You were a fan, then you were a football player for them. It's just been a part of your life. With how it went down last year, with you working for the Big Ten Network, I know you wrote in the book you don't regret the message, but you regret taking the personal shots. How is that relationship with Michigan now, and also Coach Harbaugh, who you played for in the league?
It's a process. You know, they know at the end of the day, they know where my heart is. I still go to the Chad Tough events in Ann Arbor, which are for Coach Carr's grandson, Chad Carr, who passed away a couple of years back. So I still go to that event. I still go up there and go to some things. I'll be going to some games. You know, I still talk to some players on the team. My brother was still on the team all last year. So there's a lot of players I still kept in contact with and talk. So, I mean, it's a work in progress. At the end of the day, I just want the best for Michigan. I want the best for Coach Harbaugh. Coach Harbaugh has turned the program around and put it on the what's the word I'm looking for? He's put it on the incline, if you will. He's turned the program around for, got back to winning, if you will, done some things. We just, you know, now we just got to win that big one. I think all fellow alums are passionate. You know, I'm sure I'm not the first and won't be the last alum to speak speak harshly about an institution in which he's, you know, bled for, cried for, you know, worked and donated to, and, you know, so much of not even just money, time, effort, energy, thoughts. So Michigan to be Michigan. I will always love Michigan. I will always be here to support. I'm always going to go to 2 to 3 games a year. And, you know, when the time is right, Harbaugh and I will talk, and, you know, we'll mend the fence. But right now he has more pressing things to do, and that is win the Big Ten title.
Last year it was supposed to be their year. We know the Ohio State game did play out. I was believing in Michigan, and I was wrong. This year, no more Urban Meyer at Ohio State. Ryan Day is there. You have the talk again. If it's not now for Michigan, then it's never. Do you still believe that they're close? Do you think this is their year? How do you look at the team this year?
I think the big thing with last year is they didn't have an explosive – they didn't have consistent explosive plays. Like, they beat a Wisconsin team that had lost a lot to the NFL draft. They beat a Penn State team that had lost a lot to the draft. You look at Penn State's draft – from last year, the players that were gone, you know, you lose 3 guys in the first round, 2 guys in the second round, et cetera. So last year, I knew it was going to play out like that. I knew it was going to be Notre Dame and Ohio State would be the only games that they were going to have to worry about, you know. And I think the big thing was the ground game was good. But if you look at the passing game, this is the key for Michigan. If you look at the passing game, they don't run intermediate routes well, like in terms of – your 15-yard ends, your comebacks, your out routes, your deep overs. Like, they don't run a lot. Or last year, they didn't run a lot of those to, you know, move the ball down the field without having to, you know, hit a big run from Karai Higdon or Chris Evans, or get a, you know, a bomb route from Donovan Peoples-Jones, which I think they only connected on one against Michigan State and one to Nico Collins. I can't remember. Like, so if you're literally just running slants and screens or go routes, like, you eliminate the whole middle part of the game, which allows the quarterback to get down the field. It allows the team to continue to eat the clock without having to run the ball 45 times a game. So I think that's going to be the key for Michigan to have success, because we know what Don Brown's defense is going to be. They're always going to be top-notch. They're always going to be dialed in and locked in. It's going to be key for Shea to be able to get the ball down the field, those 12-yard throws, those 15-yard throws, you know, those 20-yard throws. Like, those are going to be what separates Michigan and takes them to the next level against Notre Dame in a week and in Ohio State around Thanksgiving.
Braylon Edwards here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Braylon, do me a favor. I'm up against a break. There's so much more that I want to delve into with you. I want to chat a little bit about the Browns on the other side and also the New York Jets and circle back in on a few things about the book that I've read so far. So hang tight with us. We'll come on back. We'll spend another segment with Braylon Edwards, the former Michigan wide receiver, and also did play with both the Jets and the Browns. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming on back with Braylon right after these short messages. Spending another segment here with Braylon Edwards on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Braylon has a new book out called Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL receiver, and beyond. Braylon, let's transition it to the NFL. Last time Cleveland had a winning season, even though they didn't make the playoffs, you know it very well. It was 2007 when the squad went 10-6. And then the Jets, you had many good moments for them going to back-to-back AFC title games. There's a lot more pressure on the Browns to make the playoffs this year, although people do believe the Jets are moving in the right direction with Joe Douglas running the show and having Sam Darnold at quarterback. When you evaluate both the Browns and the Jets this year, what are you seeing and what do you expect out of them for this upcoming season that kicks off on Sunday?
I like what Cleveland is doing. I like the situations of the teams and the deals that they've made and putting players in key positions. I like the way they've drafted. This is what they've been waiting for. You know, they have a young to middle-age experience nucleus of players that can play, of players that seem like they are excited and want to be there. They have a coach that seems like he knows how to coach them. And he seems like he's very excited. He has their ear. He has their listen. He has their belief. So I think they're going to do well. You know, I look for them to, you know, if this team doesn't win 10 games, you know, I mean, it's the NFL, so, you know, you never want to say that, but this should be a 10-6 team. This would be a 10-6 team. They should get in the playoffs, a 10-6, maybe win a division, at 11-5. I think that can happen for him. I think it has to happen now, though. Like, if it doesn't happen this year, I think next year, this off season, it'll be a lot of – because a lot of people can move next year. So I think it'll be key for them to get it done this year. And the Jets, the key for them was just moving in the right direction. Like, you know, wanting to, like, seem like they want – they've had players in the past. You've had some Pro Bowlers there. You've had some really good players. But you didn't put it all together. And I think this year is getting better. Sam's year two now. You know, you put Le'Veon out there. Jamal is running that defense over there. You draft Quinnen Williams, who's the lovable Huggy Bear.
he's a character.
He's great, man. I think he's awesome. Gonna be must. He's gonna be must see TV in a couple different ways. One, just how much he's passionate, how much he's fun and loves the game. I mean, he's like a big kid. And two, boy can play. I think that smile. Don't let that smile fool a lot of offensive linemen. The boy is strong and he can play, especially under Leonard Williams, a guy that's been there for a couple of years that can, you know, help him out and put him in the right spot, and those guys can get it going. And New York should be good as well. You look at that division. This is a good year for them to make a strong stance. You know, Patriots are going to be the Patriots, but they have their faults as well. Miami and Buffalo are going to struggle, so this could be a really, really big step for the Jets.
Last one for Braylon Edwards, name of the book, Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL Receiver, and Beyond. Can you speak a little bit, because I read it in the book, and I think that when people hear both these stories, people will go out and buy the book. Can you speak a little bit on how it ended in Seattle and then the contract that was with the Cardinals that did not end up happening? Because both of those stories, I didn't know them about you, and I thought they were both very interesting.
So in 2011, that was the lockout year. The Jets decided to pay Santonio. They pay him his contract, I think 9 years, 27 mil or whatever his contract. I mean, 3 years, 27 mil, his contract. And so, therefore, I was a man without a team. Well, John Lott was the strength and conditioning coach for the Browns, the guy that used to be at the combines. You know, he was a very bright, like, wonderful character. Like I know, you know, with the country twang, kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was down there in the Cardinals in Arizona. I was good friends with him. Larry Fitzgerald was a really good friend of mine. So they had kind of been talking to me. So then we talked to the coach at the time, and we talked to the GM, and we were in agreement that this could work. This would be a good situation. So we were about to pull the trigger, like in terms of they had talked to my agent. They were about to pull the trigger. So this would have been a Sunday evening. I was here in Detroit, Michigan. Sunday evening, I was here in Detroit, Michigan. Arizona's literally going to pull the trigger on the deal probably that Monday or that Tuesday. So one of the two. It would have been the start. It would have literally been the start of training camp. They were going to pull the trigger on the deal. I go out that night in Detroit to celebrate. So we go out, a couple friends, it's probably about 10 of us. You know, we go out to a establishment, just kind of doing like a end of the summer party. And we were having a good time, man. And, you know, towards the end of the night, the table that was next to us, they end up getting into it with, you know, my cousin that was next to me, that was sitting next to me. And so, you know, at the end, we're trying to, like, settle things down. We settle down, the bouncers come, club's over. They settle things down, and, you know, it's kind of all being settled down. Like, we're moving away. And then one of my cousins gets into a fight with a busboy. Yeah, I guess the busboy thought he was on the security staff that night. So they get into a fight. And as, you know, they get into a fight, I go into the back room, and I'm trying to get out of the mess. So it's a whole melee. It's literally a whole melee that had nothing to do with me. And in that melee, one of my cousins, I think, stabbed the security guard with a fork, I guess. And so anyway, they arrest my cousin. I leave. I go home. And the issue was, it was over for the most part. Like, we and the guys that were getting to it in the beginning were done with. We talked about our matters, figured out, okay, cool, you know, and no big deal. Look, misunderstanding, you guys go home. And then that happens. Well, the next day, that comes out. And so Arizona finds out about it, and then the deal's off the table. It was 3 years. What was it?
I think it was like 15 million guaranteed, right?
It was 15 guaranteed. It was 3 years, 15. 3 years, like 20-something, 15 guaranteed.
Man.
And so that happens. And then You know, yeah, so that happened. They took the deal off the table and go into Monday, had to talk to it, figured out, talk to my attorney, my agent. My agent was pissed. And that's something that I didn't, it wasn't my doing. You know, obviously maybe I shouldn't have been out. Maybe I should have stayed home. But, you know, I was kind of excited that the lockout was over. I had a place I was going to. I was with some familiar friends. Kerry Rhodes, who was one of my best friends in the NFL, he was another part of the deal at the time, helping me to get there. So it was going to be a fun place. It was Arizona. Be my first time playing in warm weather, you know. And so that happens. They take the deal off the table, and then I go out to San Fran for a lot less. So it was tough, man. Just still thinking about it, it's tough, man. Me and those cousins, I said, we don't necessarily talk anymore.
I got you. And then with Seattle, you had a muscle relaxer. There was a play in the game. You thought you caught the ball. It wasn't ruled a catch. And then you had a drink on a flight. A strength and conditioning coach said something to you. You had a little fun on the PA system, making a joke at the coach and the strength and conditioning coach. And then Pete Carroll cut you the next day. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. We played the Bears.
Were you shocked when that happened?
No, not really, because I saw how the whole pattern of the season was going. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would bust my ass in practice and, like, make all these plays on Sherman and Cam Chancellor and, you know, the Sean Shedd and just the whole defense. And then come game time, you know, I would get few the little plays and, you know, then it would get good for me and then my knee would act up. Like, I remember I was supposed to play against the Lions and I'm, you know, we're going home. I'm excited. Come back home. You know, I'm playing well. It got me a lot in the red zone package. That's where they started featuring me a little bit in the red zone package. So I was excited. But my knee that I had surgery on the year before, San Fran, it was flaring up. In the flaring up on the flight, I ended up not being able to play. They drew blood out of it on Sunday just to see if I could still go, and I couldn't go, so I had to get a cortisone shot. So I kind of, you know, it was an up and down season with the knee and just with the usage. And, yeah, then that play, it was basically like, I caught a ball right before the half against the Bears. They called it a touchdown. And they come back, they ruled it not a touchdown. Then there was another play, threw me a post route, and I had Peanut Tillman beat by, you know, 6 yards easy, had him beat. And Russell hangs up in the air, so I had to come back to it. And let's not forget, Peanut Tillman is the same height as me. You know, it's not like Peanut, some 5'5 DV. So I go back to the ball, he knocks it down. So anyway, I pull my hamstring on the last play of the game. Last play of the game, I pull my hamstring. We end up scoring to go to overtime. And we go to overtime. I didn't play. We get on the plane. They gave me a muscle relaxer for my hamstring, kind of like the medical staff that go around the aisles and they'll pass out. You know, who's hurt, like you ice bag, you muscle relaxer, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we always, you know, some players, since, you know, cocktail long flights, you know, we play cards, some guys or read, some guys have cocktails, listen to music, talk about the game, watch the game. So we're playing cards and, you know, I never had a muscle relaxer before. You missed that muscle relaxer, you know, with a couple cranberry and vodkas in. And the rest is history, man. I got on that microphone, cracked jokes, because he came at me and told me, so, like, he's giving me advice and coaching me from a, you know, wide receiver perspective. Meanwhile, he's the assistant strength and conditioning coach. And he said something on the field. He said, man, you got to go up and make that play for Russell. I was like, okay. Then he said something again in the locker room after the game. I said, okay. And then he said something to me in passing, again about it, and at this point, you know, like the muscle relaxer and the cranberry and vodka kind of
kicking in, yeah.
And so, yeah, so I got him and cracked a couple jokes, and jokes didn't go over well. And you know, I talked to Pete the next day, and you know, I ended up back with the Jets the rest of the season that year. I got, yeah, so it worked out. I got to go back home.
Well, hey, Braylon, it's been a really exciting read so far, entertaining, and, you know, learn a lot about you. Braylon Edwards doing it my way, my outspoken life as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL receiver, and beyond. I can't thank you enough, and good luck with the book.
Hey, Zach, thanks a lot, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.